In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This, of course, is our 4th of July weekend, and it's a good time for us to think about certainly what it means to be an inheritor, a descendant of one of the founding fathers of the United States. And it's worth us to think about the fact that these were people that were completely united. Even when they argued, they were united because they had a higher vision, and that vision was freedom. And it's also important to remember that our founding fathers, all of them had some sort of religion. Some were Christian, some were deists. But all of them founded our country with this vision for freedom that was rooted in a belief in God. And so with that in mind, I can't imagine any better readings for us to have appointed by the church this Sunday on this 4th of July weekend. Any better readings that would be more fitting for the 4th of July. Now, St. Paul, this is the gospel reading for martyred women. And of course, today is the Saint Kyriaki, her name day. But among other things, in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he writes, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ." And he goes on to talk a bit about slavery, that before the coming of Christ we were no better than slaves. And while we're used to St. Paul writing about us being slaves to the law, he reminds us we were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. And then there is this exposition by Jesus about anxiety in life and priorities. He says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will hate the one or despise the other." And then he goes on this long exposition about anxiety. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food?" And he goes on and on and on and on. He says, "So do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things. And your heavenly God knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." And so in these readings, we have a wonderful correlation with the spirit, if you will, of 1776. And why is that? Because 1776 was about freedom from oppression and law, unjust British law and unjust British oppression that had made the colonists in some ways not quite slaves, but close, certainly intellectual and emotional slaves to Great Britain. And then here we have St. Paul reminding us about the freedom that comes from living as a Christian. We are free from the law. Yes, we follow the law, but the law no longer oppresses us because now you and I have the ability to follow the law. And we know that as we live as Christians, it makes us free. There's nothing oppressive about living as a Christian. There's nothing oppressive about life in abundance. There's nothing oppressive about having the capacity to love your enemy. Those are liberating things, and they're the gifts that are given to us as Christians. And yes, we're free from the elemental spirits. We're free from the baser things of this life that entice us and that drag us down. And all of us have heard again and again, and we should always be reminded that as Christians, we have the power to resist temptation. Every time you and I sin, it's simply because we've denied that power. And then we are free from prejudice. Now we know that the Founding Fathers wrestled with the issue of slavery, something that was resolved later on. But we do know that there was diversity among the colonies. And Marylanda, for instance, was a Catholic colony. South Carolina was an Episcopalian colony. but there is unity in their difference. St. Paul reminds us of that, right? He says there's neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ. Christianity gives us the power, gives you and me the power to overcome our prejudices. And that's why we see so many people who live apart from God struggling so much with their bigotry and prejudice, because I don't know how apart from God anyone can overcome those prejudices that we carry with us in life. Jesus says, do not be anxious, and the verb there is merimneo, conjugated, but in reading about the, I wanted to read about the origin of that verb, and there are those who think it has something in common with the verb merizo, to divide. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because when I'm anxious, I am divided. I'm internally divided because one part of me wants to live my life, the other part of me wants to obsess over my anxiety. But then when I become anxious, I become divided from other humans. I'm estranged from them because all my energy is focused on my worries and what's going to happen to me and what's going to happen next. And so I am divided. I think there's a lot of truth to that etymology of those two words. Anxiety does divide us. And that's why Jesus does not want us to be anxious. Jesus wants us to be whole people, not distracted by our worries. He wants us to live together as fellow humans, as fellow persons. He wants us to do that, not obsessed by our anxieties. Now this freedom that we long for, this unity that we so much desire, this ability to choose God over the things of this world, to choose God over mammon, this ability to be free of our anxiety, comes when we are not divided, but when we focus on Christ. And that's it. We focus on Christ. We are here this morning. We, 120 plus people of us, however many there are, we are here this 4th of July weekend to focus on Christ, as we do every Sunday. Because every Sunday when you and I focus on Jesus Christ, we realize that we can overcome our prejudices. We realize that we are now free. We realize that anxiety is something that should not be allowed to master us, because God provides for us all that we need. Now we still grapple with all of these temptations to relinquish our freedom, temptations to not be unified, etc., etc. We grapple with them because this is real, what you and I are doing. This is real salvation, real healing, real God, real Jesus. And because it's real, it's not magic. We can't preach one sermon, read one scripture reading, and walk out and say, okay, I can check that box off on my life. Everything's better. Like all healing, like all salvation, this is a lifelong endeavor. It's a process. It's a commitment. And it's one that you and I are embarked upon. So since it's not magic, I will guarantee that knowing all that we know, that we will all still grapple with our desire to be enslaved by rules. Some people want more rules from the government. Some people want rules from this or that. Don't worry about that stuff. Just look at us Orthodox Christians. How many Orthodox Christians want to be enslaved by our own rules? It's fascinating. We have our practices, our traditions. They are good things. We teach them to our children. We remind one another of things like not eating before communion, and on it goes. But how many Orthodox Christians just want the rules to govern their lives? It's true. Because unfortunately, we have this fallen desire to be slaves to something. And it's very tempting to be slaves to the rules of the church because it seems like a good idea, but it's not. And we still grapple with our fallen nature, all of us. Evolutionary psychologists tell us the reason we like to stuff food in our face is because cavemen only got to eat once in a while. Maybe that's true. They tell us the reason we like to attack people who are different than we are is because when we lived as tribes, if you saw somebody from outside your tribe, you had to kill him before he killed you first. That might be true as well. I don't know where it comes from, but the truth of the matter is that you and I are still very much afflicted by our fallen nature, and we will be until the day we die and go to be with God in his kingdom. And that's a fact. So we always have to be vigilant. Vigilant of the fact that there's a lot inside of us that's been programmed to be wrong. And we still must make a living. You still have to go to work every day and get a paycheck. That's part of life. St. Paul says if you won't work, you shouldn't eat. And we still have to have food and clothing and shelter. Those are all important things. But if our eyes are fixed squarely on God, fixed squarely on the Lord, then we pursue these quote-unquote cares of life, not in a way that makes us crazy or separates us, but in a way that unites us. Because our unity with one another is based on our love for Christ and his love for us. We are one in Christ, all of us. So we can pursue the things that we need to pursue in this life, making a living, having food and clothing, whatever it is, and we can pursue it in a way that doesn't divide us internally or externally. Now, as we considered one more 4th of July for the United States, it might be fair to say that the spirit of 1776 is becoming a distant memory for many Americans. Because today there's lots of disunity. And there's really not many people that live for a higher cause. There's a lot of short-sightedness. And more people choose to rely on themselves for solving their problems, not to rely on God. That's a fact about the United States in 2019. But this spirit of unity and of greater vision and of freedom and of love for God, this spirit lives on in the church because this spirit of unity and freedom and love of God and higher cause predates the first 4th of July by 1.75 millennia. It was born with the church. And no matter what happens around us, the church remains the guardian of these highest qualities and highest callings of humanity. So we might conclude by thinking about this statement that I am absolutely convinced to be true. For those of us who have given our lives to Christ, who have surrendered our fallen will to him, who love him and struggle to love one another as he loved us, for those of us who are in that category, living that way so that we can be free, for those of us who call ourselves Orthodox Christians, really, every day is Independence Day.